Tech WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season, conjures up rivalry. You know, I'm not even sponsored by Under Armour. Hi, Uncle Kevin, how are you? But I do love the Baltimore versus everyone shirt. I don't bust this out often, but this will truly be a wise conversation with our friends from Wise Markets. We welcome in a friend, a nemesis, a foe. I have said this in the last couple of days. Because I red zoned a little bit. We had the 4 o'clock game this week, so the 1 o'clock game. I used to be completely unconcerned with the Cleveland Browns. I used to treat them like they were different, like they were in a different division, you know. And now we contend with all things Cleveland. It is my pleasure to welcome back onto the program, and I hope this is a wise conversation because he's had a lot of success lately to make some time for me. We welcome Andy Bowman back onto the program, the original Believe Land man who you do believe in the Browns. You're a Baker Mayfield guy, right?
Baker Mayfield guy, recreating maybe the Baltimore defense that brought you guys a championship back in the day. Bringing back the Bears, he's sacking quarterbacks, making moves. Now look,
making commercials,
progressive insurance.
I've seen 1,000 more commercials than I have playoff appearances, and wow. I would have said that about RG3 as well. And you know, I mean,
all fair. Now look, now to the humble Cleveland fan, fun ride, long ways to go, and we all know in football, health. Can the Ravens stay healthy? These are the keys to the NFL to me anymore these days. It's usually the most healthy team to me wins, but it's been exciting. And by the way, it's glad for Browns fans, it's good to be back. And not just like, hey, we're 7-3, Brian Hoyer back. This is 3-1. We made the playoffs last year, beat Pittsburgh on the road. We feel like we're legit.
All right. Well, Pittsburgh's not Pittsburgh. We know that. But I want to ask you, before we get into any of this and we promote this incredible story that you've told me once that you're about to tell me more, and you're taking pictures with Shaughnessy and a bunch of the big shots who come on the show once in a while. Do you think Lamar used the restroom in Cleveland that night? Or what is your conjecture on what happened with the Willis Reed night? What do you think really happened? Was it really cramps?
I think there was a moment in sports. I don't think he's a guy who was saying I needed to like build up the drama. Something happened. Whatever that occurrence was, an injury, bathroom, whatever, something happened. And let me be very fair as a person who would love to see nothing more than the Browns beat the Steelers and Ravens every time we play. That was one of the more remarkable games I've seen as a Browns fan. I thought, and by the way, I saw it again with the Chiefs game a few weeks ago again. Lamar can really stand on his head in times, and he stood on his head in that game. And in that moment, I thought he did have some moment. Bathroom, had to go get some IV, whatever it was.
But Cleveland mustard, something like that.
But I want to be very fair. That was an incredible performance by Lamar Jackson that game.
I've been coming to Cleveland for 20 years. I've seen all the blowouts. I mean, the couple of upsets, the couple of times when the Browns won. I was there when Obama and Bruce Springsteen had 500,000 people out. I mean, I've been to Cleveland a bunch. I skipped that one because of COVID, and I wind up missing this sort of seminal moment I skipped Detroit 2 weeks ago and missed the Justin Tucker field goal. I've been going to games for 25 years. COVID's kind of weirded me out, not having locker room access. Dude, I'm a storyteller the way you are, right? Like I bring these players on for 25 years, get to know them. They canceled the 20-year Super Bowl reunion. So I'm chasing Sarah Goosey here this week and Marvin Lewis and these other, because they were all going to be coming in 2 weeks. Now they're not. COVID's changed a lot of stuff, but I think as a storyteller and a media person, I was going to half kid you that if you ever had to tell the story about the Lamar thing, you would really get to the bottom of what really happened there that night, right? Like that's not a full documentary on either side if we don't really get to truth from that night, because that night was an epic part of whatever Baltimore and Cleveland story will ever be, right? That'll be one for the history books.
Oh, there's many. I mean, we can go baseball too, between the Orioles and the Tribe in 96, 97. Great back and forth. The heartbreak 96 for us, the greatness in Tony Fernandez 97.
See, I attended all those. I was in the locker room for all those. Like those, I could be a storyteller of that stuff. Where Alomar hitting the home run. I mean, the whole deal, man. Those were good times. We don't play baseball like that anymore here.
Well, look, I like that Mullins a lot. I think he's a good place to start.
You can't have him.
It's funny, real quickly, this is a beer about beer, because you and I can beer. I was talking to Shaughnessy, and we both were talking about teams. I go, and then he happened to bring up Baltimore because of Earl Weaver. I go, one note, and he knew where I was going. I'm like, boy, that Cedric Mullins is good. He goes, he's very good.
Shaughnessy covered the Orioles here in the late 70s with Earl. Yeah. So every time, and I worked at the paper and like all that. So like, we always talk about that stuff. But like, I saw Frankie Lindor running around in those pajamas the Mets wear like 8 weeks ago, and I sort of forgot he was there because it's easy to forget about baseball. I'm from Baltimore, you know what I mean? I was busy like eating crab cakes this summer, and you know, I did baseball. Tell Sharon too. I did baseball my whole. My name's Aparicio. I'm 53. I'm not watching this trash. You know what I mean? Like they're not getting 4 hours a night of my life right now. Make it compelling. Maybe be nice. Maybe I'll come back. But the baseball part of it. But like even just seeing Lindor gone and like I don't know, man. You know, I mean, he should have been an Indian forever.
He should have been. It's part of the game. What's ironic is the Indians have done a good job of spinning these trades. Sabathia brought us Michael Brantley, for example. We spun off recently to Michael, and that was the last name, the pitcher is playing for the Padres. That Trevor Bauer got us Framil Reyes. So the Indians have been good at this. This current one, Ahmed Rosario has been a very nice player. He's actually had better numbers this year than Lindor. And to go deeper into what you're saying, I think there is right now, there's a bigger story to be told about the Baltimore Oriole way. That was a big thing in the 70s and 80s. And in fact, in 85, 86, a couple gentlemen came over from Baltimore to start building the Indians. The Indians are actually a blueprint to the Baltimore Oriole way. And it's a bigger story that Tom Hamilton talks about, quite frankly. And that's something that I would bring up to Baltimore Oriole fans. The Baltimore Oriole way has been lost. It's ironic because there's a lot of teams to follow. The Rockies do too. There's people in like
some may say you took the heart of the Oriole way to Cleveland, huh?
May have. And again, that's the bigger story to me. It's ironic. That was such a blueprint to winning, and the Indians have taken that on, and that's why we are where we, in my opinion, it's a big part of it.
Mark Shapiro as well. I mean, everything that came from that came from Ron and came from the Cal Ripken and things learned on 33rd Street. Andy Billman is here. Believe Land is the project you're known for, but you've become more known here. And, you know, I was saying, what's your next project, Andy? You know, for you, I saw you run this story that you've told, and you've told it to me once. I want you to retell and the genesis of this. But, you know, I miss Steve Sable so much. Like the other day was his birthday and we honor him. Wow. Baldy grows a garden up in Cherry Hill for him. And and storytellers, you know, I had Ross Greenberg on a couple of weeks ago. Storytelling. Oh, cool. This is what you do. And when you find a story, you go all in and then it becomes award winning. And then you have to come on my show and talk about it.
Lester, you're too kind. You're too kind. We'll talk rock and roll next time too, because I'm a big rock and roll fan, by the way. But anyways, going today to what the story is. In 1920, the Indians and Yankees were going into for the first time, a heated pennant race. Ruth had just joined the Yankees that winter. The Indians had Speaker in 16. They added a couple other players from Red Sox, and another player named Carl Mace is added in 19. It made to this moment where both teams are in a pennant race along with the White Sox. And on August 16th, the star player, there's two star players, Speaker, Trey Speaker was one. But really the star of stars for the Indians at that time was this player named Ray Chapman. Chapman, unfortunately, was struck in the head by a pitch by Carl Mays. He died later on. He's the only player ever to die by a hit on the head and a blow to the head during a game.
We all remember Canigliaro. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember Rich Coggins getting hit when I was a kid here. You know, I remember I was at the Gary Renicky game. And remember Gary got a literally a football face mask after he got hit. I mean, there have been so many, really tragic things that have happened in baseball, but nothing quite like this. And 125, how long's baseball been going on now?
Now, if you want to go, I guess say 1890s, I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, 125, right?
Yeah, something like that. So for that to happen, and then ironically, it's not just like it's a, you know, let's just a Rangers A's game in the middle of the week. That means nothing. These two teams were playing for a pennant and were colliding. And so for that moment to happen, Ray tragically dies. Ironically, the Indians go back to win. And my thesis for this is when I was taught, for people who don't know, I hate Yankee Hanky. He actually started in Cleveland in 1977. And so I was taught as a kid and a youngster in the 80s to hate the Yankees.
Was that because of Reggie? I hope
Reggie and John Denny played a part of that. There was also a part with a gentleman named George Steinbrenner. Steinbrenner.
That's right. He built ships in the land of Cleve.
Did. For people who don't know, the Steinbrenner family is actually a Lorain, Ohio family. Lorain's just outside of Ohio. So technically a Cleveland family still owns today the New York Yankees. And there's actually people still in Cleveland who are diehard Guardian fans now. Used to be Tribe, Guardian fans now.
That's right. I forgot. I did this 2 weeks ago. I had Reiter on, and I totally kept calling them the Indians. It's over. Like, you can't do it anymore, right?
It's done. Tonight I have to go speak in front of people. Like, I'm already practicing Guardians.
I had to get the R out with the people down on the other side of the Beltway in the Burgundy and the Gold. So I had to figure all this out. I want to be respectful, but it's tough.
It's tough. I said go Tribe today on the radio show. That's just what we've been saying forever. But
replace that word. I needed a one-syllable word, man.
The guard. I would not be surprised, knowing sports fans, and you can't stop this, as you and I both know, because fans determine this, if the Tribe sticks. Would not surprise me. The nickname the Tribe is actually stuck.
So let me ask you this, and this, I'm being serious. If we, because we were talking about Robbie Alomar a little while ago. Yeah. I almost brought up the late, great Tony Fernandez, who beat us, and Armando Benitez, and I don't, that's a four-letter word here. But if I brought that up, they did play the Indians, right? We're not trying to
It's the Indians. Look, it's the Indians. And I think this goes to something that I've been talking about a lot of people. It's the Indians. You can't change that. The Indians have been around for 105 years. I am not against the name change. I'm fine with it. It's okay with it. I'm not pro or against. I just like the city name, for people who don't know. Obviously, watch Cleveland. I like teams staying in my city. So the Cleveland baseball team is what I was most important by. But the whole thing is, Nestor, that I'm very aware of. My dad, there's other people who had a very hard time with this name change. And I get it. It's hard because we grew up watching the Indians. It's something we grew up upon. So I get the struggle people might have.
My favorite movie, for crying out loud.
It was, to your point, I was making this joke in the Boston Press. I go, there's a fictional film that's actually a factual document called Major League. I go, that's actually what it was like in the 80s. It's so true. But yeah, that's how you play that. So for people who want to know what's the history of this team from one perspective, the Yankee perspective, the Indians, watch this film. We go through DiMaggio Feller, the Steinbrenner incident. He tried buying the team in 71, ended up buying the Yankees. What happened there? The 90s with 97, 98, the bug game in 07, and kind of a plethora of other moments throughout time. That's kind of what the film is, all around centering around the story of trying Ray Chapman and Carl Mays and what happened.
Well, I think the thing about Chapman that you're trying to put into perspective is it was the biggest story in the sports world at that time, but there really wasn't a sports world. You know what I mean? Like in the way we know it, there was no radio, there was no television, there was a newspaper, right? I mean, the newspaper chronicled it, but in the world, you know, like there wasn't a sports page probably in 1919, right? Like, or barely that sort of thing, right?
Well, Nestor, here's what happened. As you do research, this story was far and wide. You'd find it in Iowa. You'd certainly find it in bigger publications like Chicago, New York, Atlanta. But it was really that deep. Like, you'd go find something. It was like a front page story in Oklahoma. Like, it was a big story. It really was a big deal. And the thing is that really took people off was, look, Nestor's right. And we're like, in that time period, there's no social media. Clearly, there's no television. So there's no headline news or Sports Center back in the 90s. But the whole thing is, that's how big this story touched people. And when you get into the gulf of the story, he just got married to a socialite, was considered Mr. and Mrs. Cleveland at that time. A huge wedding had gone on that year. And Cleveland was a big city at that time. And that might surprise people. Cleveland was one of the top five biggest cities in the country in 1920. So it wasn't like Cleveland is today. Cleveland was a much bigger presence at that time. That also plays into why probably people pick up the story, because people were more in tune to wanting to know what's going on in Cleveland. Clearly not as much today. That happens. But in 1920, that would have been the case. Huge story, big breaking, and very tragic, obviously, to what happened.
The beautiful town, the land of Cleve, welcoming those immigrants, welcoming everyone in the early part of the 20th century. Come to the land of Believe. Andy Billman is here. So, you know, this story that came to you, when's the first time you heard about it? Or was this always lore when you were a kid that you – I mean, look, the Orioles began in 54, right? I was, and this is a good little Baltimore weave story. And two Fridays ago, my wife and I got invited to the Peabody Brewing Company. It's sort of near Hopkins, sort of near Memorial Stadium, if you're from Baltimore. And I had never been there. It's sort of a little off the beaten path. It's not like on the main drag in any way. It's near a college and university where like everybody's way smarter than me. And I don't go real often. But we went, and it turned out, no, seriously, man, there was like a reggae band playing. That's badass cool. Chicks killing it. And you know, my boy DJ Red Spurrier invited me over, and his wife's the councilwoman Odette. So I'm like over there having a beer, and I walk in to pee, and I look on the wall, and it says Oriole Park. And I'm like, whoa. I'm 53. It's where the fire happened on the 4th of July in the International League back in 1944, I believe it was.
Wow.
But Vince Bagley was a long time sports kid. We were on the air 70 years there. He would always tell, I was out there. This is a pretty good Vince, too. Hey, we were out there that day. That's when the day the fire happened out there. So I saw it, and I'm like, oh my God, I just walked in here to like listen to reggae and like have a beer. And sure. I walked inside, and now all of a sudden there's all this, I mean, Earl Weaver's on the wall. They had like the whole history of the Orioles. No one had ever told me it was there. No one had ever snapped a picture. No one had said, hey dude, you got to go have a beer over there where Oriole Park was. So I love the history of all of that, but I'm 53. And if I would have read something on the wall about an Oriole player who got shot in the head by his girlfriend in 1908 that happened in the paper, and I wouldn't know it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something I did in sports radio. I'm a little bit of a historian about like, but the Orioles started in 54 for me. Right. So I don't know if you're an old school kid in Cleveland. It's bad enough you had to deal with, you know, what you had to deal with in the '70s in Cleveland and, you know, Andre Thornton and like all everything that happened after Colavito.
It was tragic. I mean, the thing is we talk about in the film, now, obviously, I was not around the 50s, but the Herb Spore incident also happened against the Yankees. That was a big moment for the Indians. He was going to get the be the next Bob Feller. To your point, too, Nestor, like in 87, when they're predicted on that side to win the whole thing, and then totally fall flat in their face. There's many moments with the Indians where they feel like they're getting close, and it's just but so much further away. Like, and to your other point, too, like sitting in those days, the Yankees, you wouldn't see so much, but like the Blue Jays, when the Blue Jays would play at home in the early 90s, it'd be blue everywhere because the fans would be coming down from Toronto. And it was really humbling to sit there and be like, God, are we ever going to get back here to a time we're competitive? So the Indians have been through a lot. I would say that's where it gives people hope. Orioles, Pirates right now going through a lot of that stuff too. I've been studying the Pirates a lot recently. Something I'm actually focusing on a possible film. There's other organizations like this that go through it. You can see the light. It will happen. It always happens. And usually what I've learned in this case, and Nestor, I don't know if you agree, it usually happens with a Dan O'Dowd coming from Baltimore to Cleveland, start building an organization. Something like that will happen, and it kind of funds. And the Indians part, like Dick Jacobs was a big part of it in 86 coming over. Didn't matter to 94, but those are the kind of things usually switch to switch. Like something like usually front office move. Something happens, they put a plan in place and it gets executed. I think it will happen in all these other cities. Kind of went off on a tangent there, but to kind of bring it full circle, what we did in this film too is talk about League Park. So for people who watch, you can understand what League Park is in Cleveland, you can research it.
Where was it?
League Park was a place where in the 1890s when it was built is where the Indians played. And for whatever reason, Cleveland does this better than anybody else. They kept the park. It's now AstroTurf. It's that rubberized turf, but they've kept it there. And you can go there today and hit like Babe Ruth did and pitch where Cy Young pitched and played.
I did that at Tiger Stadium with my wife on the tour in 15. She pitched to me and I, you know, she said it was a ground out the third. I call it a single to left, you know, but she actually went out and pitched to me on the field. So I love all that nerdy stuff, man. I'm all about it. Andy Billman is here, the captain of Believe Land. Give me the opening of the thing with Shaughnessy. Give you, how did I see that picture? What was that? All the hubbub that you had to put a suit on.
Well, Boston Film Festival allows to open up. They're very nice. We opened up the whole, which is a big deal. That's not a minor thing in film festival worlds. When you open or close, it's a big deal. So for us to open up the film festival is a huge.
Leslie problem. There too.
Leslie Visser was there. Dan Shaughnessy, Dan Duquette. It was really cool. And you know, for one, it's one of those moments. You know, when you're a Clevelander, and it's a New York story too, to have someone neutral fan base like Boston compliment you on your work meant a lot. Because again, I think that's something I want to bring up to everybody. I think this is for everybody's story. There's a Cleveland lens here and there's a Cleveland Yankee story here, but it's a baseball story. And I think there's a lot of tentacles to it. And I hope it opens up to people. You don't have to be fan base of one or the other. It is a story. And on top of the story of Ray Chapman, Kathleen Daly, and Carl Mays, it's a fascinating story. And you can make decisions on how you feel about it as you watch the film.
Historically, and you can say, hey, go watch the movie. When something like that happens, this incredible tragedy, you know what I mean? Like Kobe Bryant last year, not in the middle of his career. Roberto Clemente, not in the middle of his career. Yeah. Right. But like, when something, I think of Hank Gathers. I mean, I'm just trying to think of Thurman tragedies Munson. In my life, right?
Yeah, Thurman Munson, bias from your part of the world.
Well, in auto racing, right? Dale Earnhardt, right? So these things, when they happen in 1919, but not just when Hank Gathers collapses, we all want to know why, and we try to, you know, when we lost the Corey Stringer. Yeah. Maryland, we lost a lineman here. His family's been on, and they've created a cause. When this happened in baseball, did anything change? I mean, I'm just wondering, like, did they look at it as like wear helmets? I don't know. I mean, I'm only asking from a historical perspective because I wasn't familiar with Ray Chapman without you, bro. So maybe a little bit, and certainly Tris Speaker, I chased around T206 cards back when I was a kid. I was a baseball card guy, but Ray Chapman's like not a name I'm familiar with.
I changed, and I actually think of three ways. One, baseballs. For people who don't know, baseball back then was a very cheap game, so they kept playing with like 7 or 8 balls, which is something you would never see today. So the balls were scuffed and they're dirtied. So the big thing that changed is like, okay, we are no longer going to have balls that are scuffed. So that way, the cleaner balls, cleaner game helps pitchers.
Well, you have to see the ball as a weapon at that point, right?
You have to. You absolutely have to. And Nestor, at that time, in fairness to Carl Mays, on a hot, humid day, that's kind of yellowish sky, to see a yellow baseball that's been imprinted and marked, it's not going to be easy to pick up. And from a sidearm's perspective in a submarine, it's not going to be easy to pick up. So that's the one thing I feel for Carl Mays. He has a ball that's dirtied and scuffed. It's coming in there hard and fast towards you. It's a blink of an eye. That's what people forget, too. It's 97, 98 miles per hour pitch. It's a blink of an eye. It's less than a second. So you have to really react quickly. And if you can't see it, you're obviously just going to be frozen like Chapman was. The other big thing I noticed was the differences between ball players. You don't hear about Ty Cobb really into the 20s, late 20s and 30s. You don't really hear about the Carl Mazes, these players who are very intense, almost on the point of Rasputins. Like, you know, just old Wild Wild West type characters. Those characters seem to die if you really go into it. Much more Babe Ruth, Gehrig, cleaner game, different game. Polished athletes. These weren't polished.
Well,
athletes.
I mean, they wanted to have heroes, like, right? That weren't in trouble, right? Like, probably no different than 100 years later as to why teams didn't want Antonio Brown or didn't want trouble.
That's right. And that's why I think that's the progression of the game. They, whatever it was, consciously or unconsciously, you don't hear about those type of players after this incident. You don't really start hearing more and more about these Ty Cobb, Carl Mays. You don't really hear about them by late 20s. They're pretty much gone from the game.
Then it became owners that became the problem, right?
Well, look, if anybody wants, it's a whole different conversation.
No, hold on, dude. We were talking Major League. We were talking Major League a minute ago. My owner right now is living in Nashville wearing cowboy boots while his father is absentee here. And no, they drew 700,000 people this year, dude. They drew like Expos kind of numbers, right? So I'm gravely concerned about, you know, the future of all of it, to be able to have storytellers and lore that go beyond, oh, Cal Ripken happened. Yeah, you know, 27 years ago.
Again, I've been there as an Indians fan. That's what it reminds me of in the 80s. And the Orioles fans are going through that. I can't emphasize the bigness of, yes, ownership and leadership in the front office. Really, people always remark, why do talk show hosts, why do you and I talk about who's running the team?
Because that's all that matters.
Because it really matters. It really sets the foundation. As soon as Andrew Berry and Stefanski got in there, bam, winning started happening. As soon as Dan O'Dowd and Dick Jacobs, by the way, it took 6 years, it takes longer in baseball. But my gosh, John Hart, he started seeing the things really plentify.
How many years in does Elias and Mydell get our guys to beat on trash cans so we can win?
By the way, I would release Oriole birds into the sky to help deflect. I would do whatever it takes. And by here's the thing, it's things.
The smell of pit beef and Old Bay in the air.
Whatever. See, Nestor, real quickly, the fans are too young. The Orioles were a great baseball team.
Yeah, they were.
It was in the 90s. Camden Yards was one of those gems. You wanted to be there. You wanted to feel it. There were great players there. Even I was even a fan of David Johnson. He managed there in the 90s.
Hey, Andy, like, Andy, my last name's Aparicio. You know the reason I'm here? Because Louis came over here from that cheapskate Vec who he hated. I learned all this when Frank died a couple of years ago. Louis only wanted to bring his family here. And 53 years later, here I am. And that, you know, like – I'm here because of baseball. My people come from Maracaibo, Venezuela. You know, there's no me without baseball. So I'm as distraught as anybody, but I don't know where the bottom is. You know what I mean? I really don't. And I think the financial part of this, and you know this, look, I had Shaughnessy and Ryan on three times this year. Every time I have them on, they tell me the Red Sox wake up every day number three in Boston, and some days they're number four, depending on how the Celtics.
It's weird. It is that way right now. I would concur. That's something I brought up to many people living in New England. When you came up here, it's Red Sox. It really is. It's Yankees, Red Sox. Right now, it's funny. I would say Patriots, even though they're 1-3, some reason the Celtics and even the Bruins, I think they're ahead of the Red Sox. That's amazing to me. There's no connection to this current Red Sox team. And ironically,
this goes back to Lindor. This goes back to Machado playing for the Padres and knowing that John Means and Trey Mancini, and you're already trying to steal Mullins from us. You better get a checkbook.
Well, yeah, by the way, happy to bring it. We'll do a GoFundMe. But look, I think the other one too is Mookie Betts, and that is a Red Sox who's playing for the Dodgers. That stings. That hurts. Look, okay, real quickly, not going too off topic, but quickly, that's why I'm not imposed of this strike, because the one thing I would like to see happen is, can we start getting some more equal footing? It doesn't have to be football, but we get something in there where we can help equalize the money spent, because it's just way out of whack. It's so clear to me. It's just so distinct between the Dodgers and the Indians right now. It's just dramatically. It's football fields different. Not just one, but multiple football fields different. It would really help the game to get bigger than just what does the players want, what the owners want. What do we want as a game? I want a game that's more competitive. Not this, I have to use analytics and bring up, just want to play the game. I'm with you. That has to change, in my opinion, Esther, though.
At least they took the guy off second base in the 10th inning. So we at least got that going for us. Andy Billman is here. Sure. He is the captain of all things Cleveland and Believeland. I got to get you back on in December so we can fight about the football team and current events and all that. Tell everybody about the film and how can we watch the film? Give me the lowdown.
Keep typing in Warren the Diamond. This is an independent film. It's my first one. So we're finding distributors right now. We're going to be plugging.
That's why it's good.
That's right. Nestor, I'm fine. It's an independent film. We're going to other film festivals. There'll be announcements to come. Just click on warrenthediamond.com. As I mentioned, I'm going to be actually in the midst of doing another baseball project coming soon and some other projects. But yeah, the big thing about this film, it's baseball. It's baseball through a century and how two teams really complemented and obviously contrasted each other throughout time and why there's great stories around it.
Well, look, much to the chagrin of the Baltimore Ravens, I have a date in Cleveland at Christmas time. I'm coming in. I've already been to the Christmas Story House and done all that. But, if you live in Cleveland, right?
I'm based in Connecticut. I am in Cleveland quite a bit, though. But if you ever want to make a date, Nestor, I'd be happy to have a date.
Tremont, I'm telling you, man, I got a coffee shop there.
Yes.
It's my favorite breakfast joint, like, ever. And I get there and I wait like an hour, like eating the cookies and the scones and stuff. And then by the time it's time to order like the eggs and a French toast, I'm a little beat, but I get it anyway. And I Uber. And then I just get all chowed up. It's like 9:30 in the morning. They roll my fat ass right into the elevator, up into the top, into the Cleveland. And I sit in the press box in the same seat. And Ozzy and Eric sit right behind me in the same seats. Like everything's the same in Cleveland, except Lamar going to the bathroom or whatever he did last year. And there's the same fans that have been just dying, sitting in front of me, pounded on the glass every time something good happens for the. So like, I miss all of that. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I got to figure out what they're playing in the theater up top this month. So I got to get back to Cleveland. It's been like 2 years. That is a long respite for me in Parma and, you know, places like that.
Parma is a good town too. Real quickly, I'll ask you.
I was single back in the 90s. You don't want to know, dude. I mean, nights at the basement. You know, they destroyed you go to the flats now and it doesn't look like the old flats. That's good. Because when I go down there, I'm like, I don't even want to know where Gary Miller was that night. I don't need to know any of that.
The stories are in the Cuyahoga River. they're just blending in with the water. But real quickly, is Ozzy a Brown or a Raven, in your opinion?
Well, Bear Bryant would say, you know, he ain't never been nothing but a winner. So he, you know, Alabama declares him as much as you want
That's
him. We love him.
Call.
I mean, really, he's Tuscaloosa. He never sits and talks to like anybody. He's just like that. But if you ever sit and talk to him, you have to have him tell the story about how his mother thought he was going to Auburn. And how upset he was when he picked Alabama.
By the way, talk about a touchy rivalry.
It's like Steelers week. We get into it with Rod Woodson and, you know, people that have been on both sides of the fence, you know. But the Cleveland-Baltimore thing's beautiful. I hope to make your acquaintance somewhere other than Zoom. Good luck with the film. Tell everybody how to find it again. You pitch.
WarOnTheDiamond.com. Check it out. There'll be press releases and stuff. You can follow me on the official Cleveland Sports handle on the Instagram. You can follow me too on Twitter, AJBL79. With more information to come, it's called War on the Diamond. And thank you for your time, Nestor. You're such a good man.
All right, man. Take care of the factory sadness out there. We'll always have that night at the Agora with the Smithereens and Jane Scott. I'll tell you right now. Dale. I had some big nights in Cleveland, man. I could do like hours on Cleveland memories, the ones I can remember. I mean, I have pictures of all the rest of it. Andy Billman is here. Please go support independent, local, significant stuff. Some good baseball stories and the story of Ray Chapman. If you don't know it, make sure you go check that out. And everybody saw Believe Land because it made us all sick. maybe when I'm old and gray and the Orioles turn it around and they become like the thing, I'll be the you of Baltimore and telling the story, you know, of how we climbed the mountain. But in the meantime, Andy, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. You're always a good sport.
Nestor, take care, brother.
We always hang too long, too. I am Nestor. We got the Maryland Crab Cake Tour coming to you. Now, Mayor Scott had the COVID issue. We're trying to get that rescheduled over at Coco's. In the meantime, we're going to be at Mother's this week with my dear friend Dave Rather down here in Federal Hill. I'm keeping it local in my neighborhood. Besides that, Rather keeps putting up this crab cake that looks delicious online. I am about it. I'm going to be everywhere on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm playing around all week long. You can find us, Ness at BaltimorePositive.com finds me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and anywhere the wise conversations take me. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and Cleveland, negative, too. I just had to slide that in.